Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Sean T. Brown. We have a great show for you today. We have an international political historian of military history and Korean War expert, Ryza Kirkland, who's going to talk about some of the challenges in Korea and the Middle East today. We would like to welcome her to our show. Good afternoon, Ryza. How are you?
Fine, Chauncey, and it's Risa. It's pronounced Risa, R-E-S-A.
I apologize, and I'm going to remember Risa because I like peanut butter Reese cups, so I'm going to remember that.
Right, that's how most people did. That's how they did when I was growing up, so not a problem.
It's great to have you on the show this afternoon. Before I get into asking you several questions, can you please just, for the American people, just briefly describe a little about who you are and your background?
Oh, well, it's funny. Military history is something I grew up with. My dad just knew everything about World War II, every battle, every general, both sides, Allied and Axis. I grew up with it, and I knew it very, very well. And as I got older, and because of him, I learned about communism, and I started studying into the Korean War, kind of because I found a story in his scrapbook of his best friend that was killed in Korea on Pork Chop Hill. And that's a story for another date. But it turned out the Pentagon actually verified to me it was the most unique story in American military history. It had never happened before, and it would never be allowed again. So I pursued it ever since. In fact, when I first started approaching the Pentagon to verify that, they didn't even know the story. They accused me of making it up. And sure enough, an hour later, they called back and said, I'll be darned, it actually did happen, and we owe you an apology. I knew they would. But yeah, that kind of led me to this, because a lot of people didn't know about the Korean War. We learned nothing about it in school when I was growing up. So I studied into it. And as a result of that, I became alarmed, seeing that, Pakistan had stolen nuclear tech from UNESCO with Dr. A.Q. Khan. And then they turned around and gave the centrifuge technology to North Korea. And then North Korea turned around and gave it to Iran and Syria. And I'm like, okay, what are Islam and communism doing sharing technology like this? Because that is not what enemies do. That's what allies do. Enemies don't share technology to destroy the world with their enemies. They share it with their friends. And so it dawned on me that they had a mutual desire to destroy America and Israel. And I realized that Islam and communism had formed what I called a secret combination of Islamunism. I coined the phrase 25 years ago. And so studying about my dad's friend who died in Korea, our longest-running war, our first against communism. Our greatest enemy, of course, is communism. And our longest-running war to date kind of led me to having to study a little bit about Islam and all of that going on prior to 9/11. And, of course, it manifests with 9/11, and everybody pretty much tries to stay up to date on it now. But that's kind of the backstory that led me to all of that. And as I mentioned, we will go a little bit deeper into the actual story of my dad's friend that will go down as a once in history event.
Thank you so much for that brief introduction. We're going to I have some questions I'd like to ask you. Right now, as Donald Trump is our president, we understand that he is probably the first U.S. president in a long time to meet with the North Koreans.
Right, pretty much ever. Yeah.
When Trump met with Kim, why was that a good or bad policy change, as opposed to past U.S. presidents refusing to meet with him alone?
I'll tell you why. They had refused in the past because North Korea uses propaganda tremendously. I mean, it's almost Daffy Duck laughable, their propaganda. And none of the past presidents wanted them to be able to use that on their people. However, there's been a change. In the last 20, 25 years, they have not been able to keep a lot of the wireless and internet technology out of their country in spite of trying. You've had more people escaping and giving information, and you've had more wireless technology being snuck into North Korea, and they have been finding out that their people have been lying to them. This was the time because they can't hide it anymore like they used to be able to. And so, but the big reason that I think Trump was a genius in what he did with this is they didn't do it in the past because communism, of course, controls all information they get, and they lie to their people constantly. Kim, big fat liar, like all commies. And this time, however, when Trump met with them, it was a genius move because for 70 years, North Korea had been insistent on one-on-one talks with our president, claiming their behavior is spawned by American aggression, big fat lie, and that if we would just meet with them one-on-one, they would stop. They would stop nuclear technology. They would stop being aggressive. They would stop being the number one exporter of missiles in the world. They would stop. Trump knows they're lying. He knows they won't. So he met with them. And what happened? They didn't stop. They can't claim that anymore. The world knows they're big, fat, commie liars. And that's what they are. You cannot ever trust commies. They control information, and they practice in deception, always. They admit truth isn't on their side. So they have become masters of deception, and the only purpose for deception, manipulation. That's it. That's the only reason for it.
Do you think that it played out as President Trump thought it would? Why and why not?
I absolutely do. I have found that this man, and I think a lot of it could have to do with his beautiful wife, Melania. Remember, she was raised in a communist country, and he understood that. And his first wife, Ivanka, was too. He understood that. And as a businessman, he has felt the frustration in dealing with communist nations because, again, there is not free enterprise like America in communist nations. I think he knew exactly what would happen. And it was a genius move he did when he showed Kim Jong-nam what he could have if he would be friends with America. And, you know, they are very gluttonous there. They have collections of Rolexes and Mercedes while their people starve. Daffy Duck cartoons, ridiculous, while their people starve. And so Trump played to that. He is a businessman, and he understands that whether or not we like it, money moves the world. He knew they were starving and have been for 30 years. No communist nation ever advances, ever, because they don't encourage competition. They don't encourage free enterprise. I think it played out exactly like he knew it would. He knew Kim would do this because he was withholding aid like a genius, and he was actually this time keeping his word, unlike past presidents who, under pressure from who? Democrats, the communist arm in America. Have eventually given in and given aid, even when North Korea has not kept their word. He was not. Kim was forced to the table because of Trump's genius with him. He handled it flawlessly, and I think it played out exactly like he wanted it. And what do we see? I've told people this in my writings multiple times. When ever Kim acts up, watch for Iran or Syria, a Muslim state, to pull some crap. When they act up, watch for the distraction from North Korea. Like I said, they have formed a secret combination of Islamism. But I will tell you this, North Korea is the bigger threat. And I'll tell you why. They have a 1 million man active duty army. They have a 4 million man army in reserve. 5 million for that tiny starving nation. That is massive. Yes, they're under-equipped, underfunded, but that does not matter. They believe in Juche by ourselves alone. They lie about their founder, where he was born and how. They lie about absolutely everything. Their claim of the Korean War is that we attacked in June of 1950. Their people didn't know any different until recently. And now they're not buying it anymore. They are risking everything to escape and get out of there. And they are stunned at what they're finding. Remember at Trump's State of the Union when the Korean man stood up and held his crutches in the air. That was the picture of the century. It was magnificent. That's President Trump. He understands communism like no president had since Reagan. I think Trump even understands it better. But I'm telling you, he knows they're a threat, and he has handled this flawlessly. He absolutely has.
Thank you. For those that are listening and tuning in, you're listening to U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. My special guest tonight is military history and North Korean historian, Risa.
Yes, you got it.
Risa Kirkland. I want to move right along. Do you think that Kim was serious when he talked about a new relationship with the United States?
I think he was long enough to get money. Something very interesting, when they had their summit in Singapore, which absolutely was historic, is that immediately after the summit, guess what happened in Singapore? Their financial system got hacked. Well, the big hackers in the last 5 years have all been North Koreans. And a lot of people have said, how? Well, a lot of people don't know this, but they keep a lot of their technology underground so that our radars and everything cannot find it or access it as easily. And so a lot of times we have been unaware until quite recently, because we've had more access, just how advanced they are technologically. And Obama was just completely illiterate on this. But Trump understands that. And immediately after the Singapore summit, Singapore was hacked. And I knew it instantly. It was North Korea, because they're the ones that are doing that, because they have entire armies. Now, like all commies, they steal all their technology, every bit of it. Same with China. That's how China's advanced so fast. And you can thank the Clintons for that, because back in the 90s, every week in the paper, you were reading about some Chinese scientist at some very sensitive military lab that was being arrested for espionage and for stealing technology. Well, that was the Clintons. The Clintons did that and allowed that. Do you remember the Charlie Tree scandal with the Clintons on donating foreign money from a communist nation out of China? That was the Clintons.
Yes.
People look this stuff up. You would not believe how embedded they are with communists and Muslim terrorists. It's absolutely jaw-dropping. And I wrote that article on Hillary Clinton, which is my most popular, on why she's a sociopath. She absolutely is, and I knew it in 92, the first time I saw her on TV. I instantly knew she was a sociopath. And I outlined why and how in the article. But I am warning you, you cannot underestimate communism, and don't fall for the socialism crap. Everybody on earth knows socialism is never the destination. Communism is. Socialism is the rest stop before the off-ramp to communism. It is meant to be temporary. It is not where you stay, even if it lasts 100 years. The goal is always, inevitably, hardline militant totalitarian dictatorship of communism. Don't be fooled.
As a result of what you just said, does that mean that Kim Jong-un will continue with his aggression?
He absolutely will. Yes, because you've got to understand with communism, a lot of people may not know this. I knew it because of growing up in a house that studied history and the patterns of freedom and the patterns of slavery, and there is no pattern of slavery better than communism. He will continue because, as Khrushchev said at the UN when he started pounding his shoe on his desk like a spoiled little impotent child, don't you know every knee will bow to communism? The communist goal has never changed, ever. It is to rule and conquer and control the world. Every knee is to bow. And if there is one human being living in a cave somewhere in the world, completely self-contained, who is not communist, they will send armies to find and destroy that person. You need to understand this mindset, people. There is no regime in history that's been more brutal, more evil, more murderous, and is continuing to be that way than communism. And our worst fear, and what people like John Wayne and Ezra Benson and Eisenhower and Reagan fought against, is the embeds in this country that have been going on since World War I. Khrushchev bragged about it back in the 50s, that he bragged about it to Eisenhower, Secretary of Agriculture, that they had embedded during World War I and that they had complete control of the Democratic Party by the end of World War I, and it was through them they would implement communism. And he told the Secretary of Agriculture under Eisenhower, your grandchildren will wake up one day, we will increment it slowly, they will be communist. And lo and behold, he said they will fear certain words. What do we have? Political castration. Never call it correct. It was Khrushchev's plan to render us impotent. That's why I came up with the term political castration, taught it to my sons and everything. And if their teachers complained, I showed up at school. Don't let teachers bully you, people. I know, I have a degree in education. They're bullies, don't let them get away with it. You call them on it every time. In fact, if you were smart, you'd homeschool. And don't send your kids to college. They're nothing but concentration camps. Don't do it. But anyway,
You studied the Korean War for 30 years and predicted 27 years ago that by the year 2000, Korea would become news again on a progressively increasing daily basis. That has turned out to be true. So where do you see this leading or ending?
War. And I'll tell you why. Because communists have no respect for the individual human life. They're atheists. And they believe absolutely and brainwash their people into suiciding, just like Islam. A lot of similarities there. Suiciding for their nation and for the great dear leader. Dear one now with him. But it was originally great leader, then Kim Il-sung was great leader. Kim Jong-il was dear leader. Now we have dear one. It's just ridiculous, their names. But I do. I see that. And I made the prediction in 2002 in the first article I ever wrote on this, the last day secret combination of Islam and communism. I wrote it at the request of Joseph Farah for World Net Daily. I made the bold prediction, and I still believe it, that when we are writing the history of the final battle that takes place in this life between good and evil, Armageddon, whatever you want to call it, I made the bold prediction then that we will be stunned to find out that the first salvo of that war. We won't recognize it probably at the time, but that when we're writing that history, we'll recognize and we'll be shocked by that. The first salvo will actually have come out of Korea, not the Middle East.
That is,
however, if you remember what I said earlier, yeah, the two, when one starts, the other one causes a distraction so that we're distracted over to them, while the ones that started it build up, keep working, and then they do something again so that Islam can build up, work. It goes back and forth like that. So, yeah,
I know.
That is my very bold prediction for Armageddon. The first salvo we will find will have come out of North Korea.
That is very, very interesting. I want to just, for the last few minutes of the show, I just want to go a little bit broader. And do you think that President Trump's foreign policy as a whole has been effective? And if not, what do you think that he needs to do to make his foreign policy better?
I'm telling you, he has been a genius, and I wouldn't even begin to advise him on that, because I think he's made every right move. I absolutely do. He is the first president that's gotten China to stop the ridiculous, outrageous tariffs that everybody on earth has been complaining about for 50 years. They have been completely one-sided and biased. He's done it because, unlike past presidents, remember, our enemies get used to our patterns. Patterns tell the tale. Watch pattern. They've been used to that pattern of us blustering, but eventually we give in and just accept the terrorists. He has not. And why? Well, I reference you back to what I said earlier. He's a businessman. He is not a politician. And he has handled this like a business deal, and he has handled it immaculately. He is the art of the deal. The man is handling this exactly as he should. And don't you know it? The left is going mentally ill more than normal, because communism does cause severe mental illness. They are going absolute fagotronic on it, which is a word I invented. Well, not really. That one's from South Park. But I invent words a lot, like political castration, Islamunism. And I love that one because it's great to watch a hippie's head explode when I use it. I'm like, a word just caused you to get this out of control. What the hell is wrong with you? So remember,
you know,
that is communism, by the way, the control of words. And that's what the left has been trying to do with PC, political castration. Khrushchev actually said it. If they're afraid to speak words, what are the odds they'll go to war? He knew they couldn't beat us militarily. So he said, start by controlling their words. Make them afraid to say it. If they're afraid to say it, what are the odds they'll do it?
You have been a dynamic guest today on U.S. National Politics.
I'm coming back, too.
yes, you are. I thank you for your insight. A glimpse, and we're going to dive more in the future of military history in Korea with Risa Kirkland. If people want to reach out to you and contact you, how can they reach out to you if they want to talk to you, have an opinion, or want to have you on one of their shows about this very important issue that's going on in the world today?
Well,
how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, definitely. I'll tell you the very best way is either at LinkedIn, look for Risa Kirkland, R-E-S-A, Facebook, same thing. I am not on Twitter. They're nothing but Gestapo. I won't go there. But I am on Parler.com, which was actually started by some Utah gentlemen here who were sick of being censored, and censorship is a communist doctrine, who were sick of being censored, so they created it, and you can absolutely say whatever you want on there. It is free speech, unlike, you know, Jack Hitler and his Twitter Gestapo. don't go there. Everyone dump Twitter ASAP and go to Parler. They can find me there, or they can email me. And this is the email I've had for some time for that reason, because research is always ongoing. My email is Risa LaRue. That's my middle name, R-E-S-A-L-A-R-U, at gmail.com. And we're losing that generation of Korea, but I'm telling you, we are going to fight it again. It's our longest-running war, our first against communism, and it is where we will see Armageddon start.
Thank you so much for your time today, and we look forward to having you on our show again soon.
Thank you, Chauncey. I can't wait.
For those that are listening to the show, you're listening to U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We were honored to have military history, Korean War expert Risa Kirkland on our show today, talking about Trump's foreign policy, also talking about North Korea's position in the world, and how Donald Trump has engaged his foreign policy to try to benefit America. You can follow U.S. National Politics on Facebook at U.S. National Politics 101. You can also follow us on Twitter at U.S. National Politics Now. You can follow me on Facebook at Right Talk Host, also on Twitter at Right Talk Host. Please join us for our next show that will be aired on February 3rd. At 4 o'clock, and we're going to have Miss Alexandra Levine, or Levine, member of Jexit, on our show talking about the exit of their organization. We want to thank everybody for tuning in today and listening to U.S. National Politics. We hope that you will join us again. We want to thank the American people for tuning in. God bless America. God bless the President of the United States. God bless Congress. And God bless our guests. And God bless you all. Thank you very much for listening, and have a blessed day.